have to have, praise God. Greater is he that's in me than you, and he that's in the world. But you know what? I mean, he would like to make you think that he is this big, ferocious killer, and he is all that, but he's powerless. I mean, he is a created being. The dude ain't got horns. God created him in Ezekiel. He's beautiful. I mean, the Bible says Satan is beautiful. He's not this big, horned, red-eyed devil the world portrays him to be. No, sir. He was created by the Lord. And he was created beautiful. But Jesus stripped him of all power and made a show of him openly, the Bible says. And gave us power over all the power of the devil. And it says, by no means can he harm you. So I'm saying that. I'm under an anointing, praise God. Get that devil mentality junk out of your mind. You're a king and a priest. I mean, you created in the image and likeness of God. You've been given the same power that Jesus had. And I mean, when Satan comes and lies to you and says, tries to cause you to fear that he's going to do this in your family, this, remind him that he's defeated. Remind him that he's under your feet. Remind him that he is going to be put in the bottomless pit. Remind him that we win. That you win, praise God. Did you find it? Could you put, I didn't give you this, Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. I think that's what I want. If I don't, I'll quote it. I know what it says. But see, now, Samantha, and I just want all of y'all Facebook people that logs in regular, on a regular basis and views it, we welcome you. We glad you're coming through that. We'd rather you be here, and I'm not going to get on you tonight, praise God, but I'm going to be expecting every one of you to get touched by the anointing and cause you to desire to go to the house of the Lord, because, I mean, you can hear it and it's good, but to experience the unified anointing, the corporate anointing, is just, it's just unexplainable. I don't have words to explain it, but it's in your life all the time when you're united and can go together. And if you can't, you're not able to, then you're under that anointing if your heart's with us. You come in under that anointing and you'll get the same spirit that we feel here, there, if you cannot attend. That's what that's for, really, is I believe God wants to take it into the highways and the byways, into the homes and the prisons. And everybody got a cell phone just about it, the two of them, you know, praise God. But that unified anointing, praise God, was that what I need? No, that's not it. Try Mark 4. 24. Now see, concerning fasting, they can't nobody convince me that it don't do you spiritual good. You will grow spiritually. You'll get stronger spiritually. Fasting is dying to the flesh. It's putting that flesh down. Fasting is humbling yourself, like Max said, to appreciation to God, but it goes way deeper than that, and that's a great thing. And I mean, you know, I've seen miracles happen, I believe, because I fasted every week for the ministry that God had given me and for him to use me and for to give me understanding and all of that. Leaning on him, you know, that it's leaning on the Lord. Fasting is humbling and a heart to God that I need you. I want you. I want inside. I want to know how you are, who you are, who I am deeper. Hallelujah. And you know what? The dictates of the flesh begin to drop off of us. The closer we get to the Lord, the more that this flesh has any control over us. See, our flesh was not, that's it. Our flesh was not born again. When you give your heart to Jesus, your flesh man, your natural man, did not get saved. You got saved in your heart. He came in your heart. And then the Bible tells us we're to train this flesh man. We can train it. Train it to love God. Train it to serve God. Train it to serve us. Because us, what I mean, when you look in the mirror, that is not you. That's the body. That's the house you're in. The you are on the inside. None of us really can see you. We see this body that we live in. And to prove that out, you go to a funeral and Aunt Susie done died. You can sit there and talk to her, but she's gone. See, that body didn't leave. That body didn't go out of here. That was just the house that Aunt Susie was in. So we need to have that concept and that reality. That's why the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And the Lord spoke to me this evening. He said, He said, some of my people, they quote the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, but you need to add that to fasting. Depend on the Lord to strengthen you, to help you. You make a commitment and he's the one that helps you do it. I know when I first, fasting had come up to me. I've been in churches. I'd never heard the word fasting. And I went to a service and fasting, and I thought, that's stupid, man. Do without food, that's not for me. I mean, Satan tries it on all of us. These thoughts come, that just ain't for me, and all of that. If it wasn't for me and you, he wouldn't have put that love letter in the Bible for us. But God, Jesus did it. Jesus fasted and he went in there in the temptation and didn't fall for it. The word was in him and God was with him and he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit of God. And it was not because he was Jesus. He was walking like a man like we are. Influenced by the Word of God and the power of God and the anointing of God and the grace of God. He leaned on that. He leaned on it. That's why he prayed often. He went away from the crowd and prayed. I believe he was drawing strength from the Father. But you know what? He gonna try that every now and then. When I first started fasting, I thought, well, bless God. You know what? These people believe that, man. I'd go off, and that was the Holy Spirit dealt with you and gave you understanding through Wednesday night. I don't like preaching on fasting because people don't like it. God, y'all quiet. They don't get mad about it. It's just, oh, my God, fasting, oh, my God, I'm going to starve to death. Satan tries all kind of stuff. When I make up my mind the night before to set a day of fast, I'll wake up at times and my belly will be growling. That never happens. Son, I wake up at 4 o'clock and I'll think about, oh, yeah, man, 3 eggs over medium. I've got time. It's 4 o'clock. I don't have to go to work till 7. But if I'm not fasting, that stuff don't happen much. I'm fasting. Now, I want to make a point here with this scripture because the Lord spoke it to me during praise and worship. Jesus said to the disciples, and that's us today, right? We're his disciples. We're his sheep. He said, take heed what you hear. With what measure you fast, you heard it. You heard it. Here you are. You took heed to what you heard. That's what that means. If I hear it, I don't put the devil under my feet. Take heed to what you hear. The measure you use will be measured to you and multiplied, and more shall be given. Boy, you just don't know what's going to happen to you. Yes, you do. Why? Because you're a doer. You're a doer of the word. That is what doers are. Now, I'm not just on fasting. I'm on love your enemy. I'm on have faith in God. Have faith in God, and whatsoever things, Mark 11:20, and whatsoever things, take heed what you hear. Listen to. That means listen to it. Pay attention to it. Make it something that catches your attention, that you leave here and you don't just throw it down. You go out and you say, I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to pray for those that had somebody call me today and some turmoil in their church and blah, 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 and people saying things about them and it really, really ain't true, you know, and all of that stuff. And I said, listen, don't enter that battle. He said, while I'm innocent, I said, Jesus was too. I said, don't enter that. See, fasting and praying and leaning on the Lord, you will gain wisdom. I mean simple wisdom that comes from God, that the world, you'll stand strong and you'll just whip the devil every time and they'll be like, what in the world? How do they do that? Why don't they? Can't you get them down? You can't get me down, Johnny. The only way you can get me down is for me to lay down. And I'm not laying down. I done come this far and I ain't backing up. I'm not going to give the Bible says give no place to the devil. And I got this good statement that I live by. Never let the devil see you sweat. That means when things ain't going in your favor, don't go to complaining. He's listening to you. Satan is saying, there we go. Now he's laying or she's laying down the armor. Now he or she's laying down. Now I can get to them. Now I can come crank it up a little more in their life. I'll make this one get up, rise up. But I told that person, I said, don't enter that battle. Don't enter that battle. I said, if Jesus can't take care of your church, you can't. I said, Satan wants you to enter that battle, this battle to defend yourself. You know, I said, don't enter it. Let them say what they say. Let them do what they do. I said, I done crossed that bridge myself. And I didn't start singing that song. No, bye. I'm a youth pastor tonight. I'm a youth pastor, guys. Don't y'all like your new youth pastor? Whoo! Power pack, 5'6", anointed, been a teenager before, know how to get there, know how to get you on up here. But you can become a man at 18, 15, 16. You can grow up at a young age, or 66. I wasn't saying that just be funny that the best days are ahead of us. Hallelujah. Because we learn, and I'm learning. I know some things, you know some things, and you know we all know some things, but the more we learn, the more we're going to be one, and we're going to believe alike, and we're going to think alike when Jesus comes, and our bodies are not going to tell us what we're going to do, not at 4, not at 16, it ought not to, not at 58 and 62 and whatever you are, and 18 and hallelujah. That word works no matter what age you are. That anointing for a teenager, they don't need no special anointing. We all got oats. Right? We all got opportunities. We got to be in the clique in school. Out here, that's why none of y'all my clique. And y'all ain't got no clique. This church don't have cliques, so y'all teenagers don't think we don't have the peer pressures y'all have. Y'all's are just a little bit different. But the same Bible that us adults fight our battles is the same Bible that y'all youth have to fight your battles. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's not for adults. That's for whosoever is born again. I can't have my car. Zach got him a steering wheel cover. Is somebody in the church there that I just feel led to give Zach a truck. And I thought, he's got his steering wheel cover, baby. I thought, he can't help it. He bought it from Mac, didn't he? Oh, it was happening right here in this church. He couldn't help it. He's believing for one. He couldn't help it. God ain't raining vehicles out of heaven. Right? I'm giving you some revelation. When you're believing God for something, God will hook you up with people that is able to bless you. The people called me out of, I think it was Uganda. And they want to, they start listening to the sermons, and I'm talking about being rich, and I'm talking about, you know, we're blessed going in. And you know, there was times when we had $85. But I preached the same thing when I had $85 because I'm expecting it. See, you don't wait till you get what you desire to believe. More than likely, what you desire won't come. You believe God until the desire, he said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to him, and he will bring it to pass. And fasting is one a major weapon that me and you have against this flesh man. We don't have to. Don't ever do it because you have to. Don't set it as a ritual if you're going to fast to get God to move. Now, I don't have that mentality. Have that mentality, God. I'm humbling myself under the mighty hand of God. The one that rolled back the Red Sea. The one that dried it up, and they walked across. And I'm humbling myself to you to get to be more in your power and your anointing and your ability. And God, I'm believing, I'm fasting for this right here, whatever it is, for your move in it. I'm giving you the right to move in it. God, I'm expecting extraordinary things because I'm going to know you more doing this. See, fasting especially, you know, my pastor told me one time, he said, look, man, I said, well, maybe I should try 40 days. He said, well, be led on that now. He said, if you're going to be 40 days, you need to know that the Lord's leading you into 40 days. I said, well, how many days do I fast then? He said, well, I don't really need to dictate that to you either. He said, and get a mindset of how long you fast. He said, there was a Daniel fast. Then I started studying fast. Daniel fast was just vegetables. You know, if you like doing that, you know, Jensen Franklin here January, that for about 2 or 3 months, they go on a Daniel fast. That is why he's so anointed. 21, they do a 21-day fast. I've joined them before. I connect with Jensen Franklin. I listen to him often. I like his sermons. he don't even know how to preach anymore. He's led by the Holy Spirit, and I mean, I moved every time. That's you. When you hook up with God and you fast and you pray, you connect with people. I mean, it'll not be really your words. It's the words of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, set your mind to fast. I set my mind to fast one time, man. And bless God, I'm going to fast. And I went in this store, bless God, and them hot dogs smelled so good. Oh, I mean, I was about an hour and a half into that fast, and them hot dogs whipped me. I got me some hot dogs. I said, I'm not fasting today. Maybe I don't feel it anyhow. I ate them hot dogs and I thought, man, the devil didn't even do it. Them hot dogs whipped me. I mean, them hot dogs whipped me. Them hot dogs went in, my taste buds were like, oh, yes, I can almost taste it now. Boy, I'm in a fix to buy. You know? And the next time I thought, bless God, that won't happen to me again, praise God. I believe in the name of Jesus that I'll be able, Lord, to carry out, Lord. I can do all things through you whose strength. Now I'm drawing strength from the Lord. And this flesh is saying, don't talk to God. Just don't talk to God about it. Just do it all on your own. You'll fail every time on your own. I mean, you'll decide to fast and go eat the kitchen down. I know Christian, man, they're going to fast the next day. They set up to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning eating where they make sure they got enough. And all they're going to fast is past two meals. Come on, somebody. You just go until 2 o'clock. That's that flesh man, you know. Get fattened up because I'm going to lose a half an ounce. eat 5 pounds of turkey. Told the guy one time, he was pretty good size. Man, I think I'll starve to death. I said, no, like, you ain't looking in the mirror, have you? You got some reserve. Man, you got reserve. You like me, man. You ain't going to take you. It'll take you a long time to eat all that up. Praise God. But you know, fasting deep, it's like a detox that we do, you know, in the natural. You can do things to detox. Fasting detoxes you. I mean, it helps you get a clear mind. It helps you to think. It might not while you're in the fast now. I mean, you'll be all kind of thing going on up here. Oh, I'm confused now. I don't know what that scripture meant. When the whole time your spirit's saying, don't lean to your own understanding right now. Your flesh is under pressure right now. Don't pay no attention to your mind. Just cast those thoughts down. Cast them down, whatever they are. So I did that, you know, and working on it. We don't have to work it. I don't have to work on fasting. I can go 4 days. I can go 3 days, no problem. I have to go past 3 days for my flesh to get under pressure, really, now. But I've been doing it for 30 years. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about every, but I mean, I fast often. I'm not tooting my horn like Max said. I just read in there, do it privately. And he'll reward us what? Openly. But now Matt wasn't saying to toot his horn. I'm thankful and he's excited. I'm excited, man. That Matt's fasting. That excites me because I'm like, uh-oh. He's liable to outrun me. He's liable to outrun me, man. You see, I was going to the Oneonta jail. And I fasted every week for it, you know. I got 3 ministries going on, my church and different things. And our whole church fasted often. And I believe that's why we had an explosion of the Holy Spirit at times. That's why I believe he would move in. And, I mean, people would just run to the altar. The altars would fill up. There ain't nobody preached no big sermon and give an altar call and convince them to come. I found myself in it several times wondering, what am I doing down here? The presence of the Lord doing a work in each one of us. I mean, doing a work. Well, I go to the jail, and I go up, and they would let us go in, and they would lock me in with them, you know. And so I'm in there, and this one guy was a federal inmate. And, you know, they'll send them, and they'll house them so long, and they're not going to stay there. They're going somewhere else, you know, the federal inmates. And so I'm ministering to the federal inmates. And this guy, he can't read, he can't write. Maybe I'm wrong on that. There's no TV, I'm the only preacher there. And he's not got no access to no TV. And this dude, I'm going in, and he begins to preach, and revelation is coming. And I'm like, I want to tell him, hey, I'm the preacher. Hey, man, don't take up my time here. But I knew it wasn't him. I knew in here it was bear witness because I could have sat there for hours and listened to him. There's a difference when the Spirit's moving. I mean, you could sit there and you'd be like, God, we done been here 35 minutes. Are you serious? You know, and so, I mean, I never did stop the guy. Let him go on, you know. And, I mean, revelation and stuff. He's getting revelation. He's gaining revelation in there, you know. And so I leave and I'm like, I got in my car, and I'm going down the road, and I said, God, what's up with this? I said, this dude's getting revelation. And I know there's nobody else there, and the federals don't get the TV down here like they do, you know. What's going on here? You know, and he said, he seeks me. And then I thought about the scripture where it says, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, if you ask, you'll receive. And I thought, gosh, man, he's receiving things. The body ain't even getting there. He said, they're not seeking me. He said, whoever seeks me, he said, I don't hold anything back. See, y'all teenagers don't need to get all called. The Bible says don't get entangled with the affairs of this world that you can war a good warfare. That means entangle yourself, seek first the kingdom. And then all these things, straight A's will start coming. Come on, somebody. You'll start getting favor with them teachers that you think can't stand you. But why? Because you'll have favor with God and favor with man, just like Jesus. You know, and then you'll start making straight A's, and then promotion will come. Then they'll start noticing something different about you. Yes, in the school. Absolutely in the school. We need it in the school. We need y'all teenagers and the young ones. Praise God. We need y'all seeking God, telling God, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you're going to school with me today. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing is with me and you're in me and you're on me and around me, God. God, and I just thank you for your favor, God. And God, I just thank you that I don't have to be in a clique for people to like me, Lord. You love me. And they love me and don't even know they love you. You need to start thinking different. Hallelujah. I mean, the whole time I was a Christian, I told them, they come to me and they said, would you come and we want you to minister to the youth. And I said, I can't do that. I said, I'm an evangelist. What do you mean you want me in there with the youth? I said, I'm an evangelist. What do I teach to them, you know? And I said, well, I'll pray about it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what you going to pray about? They ask you to help. See, I didn't know nothing about the helps ministry. I didn't know nothing about they see things in me and they're going to help me to develop. I didn't know all about all that. All I know is y'all ain't putting that on me. Come on, somebody. Don't put that on. They didn't really need me. They had an anointed leader over there. But they felt led. And so I just turned around and I went back and I said, sure. I said, sure, Will. You just tell me when. I said, sure. And so they said, well, we want you to start this Sunday. I said, fine with me. I said, that's fine. So I'm like, well, be obedient, you humble. That's pride to say, no, I'm an evangelist. No, I can't do that. I'm not worthy. That's pride. I thought you said that greater is he that's in you needs in this world. I thought you believed that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I thought that you knew that he's with you and the Holy Spirit is your paraclete, your helper. I thought you knew that you ain't got to go in your own ability. So I go in there and they're all laying down like Zach is right now. He done getting come. He's tired. He worked all day. He's listening. I'm just picking on you. And they got their candy bars and their granola bars. And I go in there in my Bible and I got a sermon together about God. And I said, hey. Yeah, Brother Scotty. I said, put all that food away. I said, man, it's 11 o'clock. I said, y'all need to eat breakfast before you get here. We're in school this morning. You know, and they're like, one of them said, are you serious? I said, don't raise your hand. Yes, that's what I said. I said, y'all put your granola bar, whatever you're eating away. I said, it's not time for all of that. It's hard for you to pay attention smacking and drinking. I said, no talking. Now, I don't think that, I mean, they knew I loved them, man. I mean, I've been with them. I'm there, you know. They hear me testify. They hear me. You know, they talk to me and all of that stuff, you know. But my mentality was, we're not at a picnic and we're not at a breakfast. We're not at Cracker Barrel. We're at church. We're here, and I'm here to train you. And so I said, all y'all in on it? Oh, yeah, Brother Scotty. Good. I said, let's pray. And I went on, praise God. Well, I did this for 3 or 4 weeks, and they didn't come with no granola bars, and they wasn't all laid over slack and lax. You know, and I'd tell them, don't go to bed now at 12:30, 1 o'clock, you know, and then come in here half asleep now, because we got a job to do for Jesus. Y'all hear that? We got a job to do for Jesus, you know. That's why you go through things and your emotions, and Satan is after you. And I'm not denying that. And he would like to cause you to try to fit in, and he would like to cause you to believe that your parents don't love you, and there's no use in making straight A's, and there's no use in going to college. He'd like to make you think you wish you could drop out of school. He wants you to be a quitter. He don't want you to be a winner. He wants you to quit. He don't want you to rely on Jesus going to school. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? They got excited. Well, the anointing began to move in there, Johnny. And I mean, they begin to get excited. The Holy Spirit began to reveal things and minister to them and strengthen them. They'd leave out there and they'd feel good. They'd feel good about their parents. You know, I mean, I wasn't getting in on the emotional side of a man. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to train him just like I would me. Praise God. Well, you know what? They come to me and they said, well, Brother Scotty, we're ready for so-and-so. And they was here in the conversation. His name was Wade. We're ready for Wade to come back in. And they all said, no, we don't want Wade. We want Brother Scotty to keep ministering to us. I said, oh, no, this was temporary. I said, it was just temporary. I said, it was a test of me and it was a test of y'all. I said, and I'm going to give all y'all straight A's, but God, because y'all did a fine job. And I'd love to come back minister to y'all anytime the Lord lets me again. And I left and I thought, what an experience that was. Well, glory to God, I can preach to the youth. Then I go to the druggies in there. Now I go to, you know, and I'm like, well, and then I had these people to tell me. I'm scattered all over, but I'm led. I'm telling you right now. This stuff's coming out of my spirit. I hear these people they would say, well, you know, Brother Scotty, you've been on drugs, so you can reach the drug heads. You know, you're more out because you know how they feel and all that, you know. And I just felt in here something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And so I go to the Lord. I inquire of the Lord. I said, Lord, why did that not set well with me? He said, Jesus was not a drug addict. Jesus had never had a divorce. Jesus was never oppressed, and he didn't need nobody. He said, and you don't have to have known anything or been somewhere to be under that anointing that Jesus was under. Jesus could reach the prostitutes, and he wasn't one. I had a revelation. Next time I heard that out of somebody, I said, that's not in the Bible. I couldn't find that in the Bible. I said, well, and that preacher said, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, I don't know what you mean. I said, flesh can't minister to the spirit of man. I said, and identifying with them, and you know how they feel, you get emotional. I said, both of you, y'all can have things in common. I said, but you don't need things in common. You need the uncommon to go and bring the anointing and destroy the yokes that is trying to yoke that common thing up. So I can go to the drug addicts. I can minister to them that's never even stole a candy bar. You can too. It's not because you're special. You're anointed. We're all special. But we're anointed by the Lord. If it had not been for Jesus, I mean, they staked out this place for 6 months where I was buying blocks of marijuana. I wasn't buying quarter bags anymore. I went from nickels to dimes to quarters to ounces to blocks. Because I thought that that's going to be the way that I get wealthy and have my gold chains like I see on TV and my Cadillacs, you know, and my 69 Camaros and, you know, already fixed up. So I'm headed that way because I never liked a regular job. I worked hard. I was not lazy. I worked hard. But I hated authority. I hated to be told you're clocking in at 5 and you're clocking out at 5. You know, so that was kind of a problem. Well, anyways, you know, I'm going to buy these drugs, you know, and I mean, I bought a block and I'm going down. It was Joy Road right here in Bluntsville. I bought most of my drugs right here out of Bluntsville 30 years ago. 35 years ago. I come down here to kill that spirit, Antichrist. Guy told me one time, he said, I'd invite him to church. He said, man, I knew him for years. I smoked pot with him, stuff, you know. He said, man, you know I still smoke pot. I said, that don't bother me, man. I said, just smoke all you can. I said, because it's going to come a time when you ain't going to find none down here in Boston. He said, what do you mean, man? Is it going to get dry? I said, yeah. I said pot's got a witchcraft anointing behind it. I said, and I'm going to drive that witchcraft anointing out of Bluntsville. I said, because pot is just a gateway drug, I said, that takes you deeper. You know how I knew that? Now I'm speaking by the flesh man. Because I smoked pot for 7 years solid. I'd drive to Florida to get it. I turn my lights off. I'm buying tater chips and tea because we get the munchies and we gonna have that. So I was speaking by that flesh man, you know, at that moment, you know. And it wasn't too long. I seen him and he said, man, it's working. I said, what? I can't find no marijuana around Bluntsville anymore. I said, I told you. I said, I'm not against you smoking marijuana. Smoke all you want. I said, I ain't never seen you hurt nobody. I said, but there's some, they smoke a joint, and then that ain't enough, and they need some crack, and they need to go a little deeper. I said, and it ain't long till they're in prison from a joint or a beer or a mixed drink. And so, anyways, I met this car, and I'm like, I don't know about all that. I don't know about that, man. That felt strange. I thought that was unmarked cars. That's what that was. But see, I'm going to step back a little bit. God was dealing with me and Teresa to go to church. And we're getting stoned and reading Ezekiel and Matthew, and we're reading in the Bible. We're feeling like we need to change. Travis was a year and a half old, and I started thinking, man, I don't want him to see me a pothead. I didn't go one day without marijuana, 7 straight years, probably longer than that, but 7 that I knew of, and spent $45,000 on marijuana alone in 7 years. A quarter cost $45. I bought 1 to 2 quarters a week because I'm the party man on the weekend. Everybody coming over, so we're going to party. Well, I said, I'm not going back. And you know what? It wasn't but just about a week or two till I give my heart to Jesus in my living room. And I give my heart to Jesus, and I got up and I went, and speed, good speed, you know, Black Beauties, and I had, you know, well, I went and I took all my marijuana out of the freezer, and I went and I flushed it. I flushed everything down the commode and everything, and then it wasn't long after that, after I give my heart to Jesus. See, I'm not just telling you a story, I'm telling you about Jesus. That was after my life, but Satan had me going down a road of destruction, you know, thinking this is the way, and that's the way the Bible says a man's ways is right in his own eyes, the Bible says. This is the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the life. See, if y'all teenagers never touch a drug or anything, you ain't missing nothing. Fact of the matter, you'll gain life. Don't ever do anything. If somebody's your friend, they won't turn you on to that. If they're not your friend, they're going to try to get you. It's fun. No, that's your enemy. Don't tell them that. Just stay away from them. Say, nah, I go to church. I sir, come back with the gospel. Come back with it and say, nah, I'm not going to experience that life. My pastor said, go ahead and tell my testimony while you're at it. He could have bought him a house for what he spent on marijuana. I've bought houses and I've had everything in the last 28 years that my heart desires, from toys to houses to dune buggies, to dozers, to backhoes, to trucks, nice cars, give them away, blessing. But you know what? That house went down. She went to prison. They had that staked out 6 months before I give my heart to Jesus. They was just fixing to take it down, and God drawed me to Him. And I, as far as I know, I'm the only one that didn't get busted. They even knew who I sold it to. They went to them and tried to get them to say things about me. You got it from that Weston and blah, blah, blah. And they wouldn't, none of them, you know, my friends back in wouldn't squeal you out. They'd go to jail first. They wouldn't squeal you out. So let's don't be church squealers. I mean, we wouldn't do it down there, man. We dedicated. We got you back. Let's do it in the church. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to listen to nobody that talks about you. I'm going to come back with something good about you, fact of the matter. Did you see Damien's hair? Yeah, I wish mine was like that. I'm going to do it, baby. I'm going to take care of Damien. Johnny's finally, he must be using Rogaine, got a little on top, coming on back. I had to flip mine back here. Y'all see it? Son, I sprayed her down to hold her right here. Praise God. See, but that's what fasting and seeking the Lord. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. I can cover your faults. I can cover your shortcomings. I can take up for you. Hallelujah. And you know what, praise God? Because I pay attention to what I hear in that Bible about that, it's measured back to me in more revelation given. See, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. It says, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You see, Satan would like to make you believe he can't keep you in darkness if you seek the Lord. He'd like to make you believe you ain't righteous because you don't fast, because you don't go to church, because you miss church, sister, you know, because whatever the case, y'all pray for me. I'm, you know, we praying for you. We don't have to pray for you. You know, pray God, you're gonna come on out and come on up and praise God. You can come off of that walker. Glory to God, believe that. I believe it. Satan wants to make you believe that you're not righteous based on you're not perfect. You got these flaws. You got these things going on. You have attitudes sometimes and all of that. Even if you don't have them, that's not what makes you righteous. The blood of Jesus made you righteous. Jesus made you righteous. You're made the righteousness of God. Get that in you, man. I meditated on that. Because, man, I still got shortcomings, but I ain't got near as many as I had 15 years ago. You know, when I meditated on that, I am the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. I am the right. Jesus made me the righteousness of God. I am. And before you know it, all of those feelings of not being righteous was gone. And then my heart, I'm like, glory to God, I really am. I really am. Revelation come because of meditation on the Word. You can know it up here, but you got to meditate until it goes down and gets in your spirit, hallelujah. And then you know what happens? You begin to walk and you will walk more righteous. The righteousness will begin to help you to overcome the things that you thought was not making you righteous with the Lord, hallelujah. This is some good stuff, man. I am the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. In Jesus Christ, hallelujah. He made you right. So, don't let the enemy get you. I mean, you know what, praise God? Even the things I thought, glory to God. God, you spared me. He said, no, you did it. He said, I warned you that was unmarked cars. He said, that's what you felt. People call it instinct. Like us drug dealers got some special instinct or something. Whatever. I was a wannabe drug dealer. So you know what? No matter what, God is a God of deliverance. They, some of you things have been troubling you for a long time, and God's brought you here and he's bringing you this word, and you don't feel like right now that it's doing anything, but I'm telling you, I'm not speaking to your mind, I'm speaking to your spirit man, and it goes down into you and does what God sends it to do. That's what the Bible says. He sent his word and he healed us. The word does not return void. I praise God for it. Because he would preach things at church and it would get in me and I'd be like, glory to God, glory to God. And then they wasn't too big on prosperity up there, so God caused me to be drawn to TBN, which had Jesse Duplantis. I didn't know none of them guys. Had Jesse Duplantis, Kenneth Copeland them on there. Had all these, had this preacher, he had a revelation that money cometh to me. And the Lord told him, he said, now say it. Because he said, I was saying money comes and I never can keep it. I mean, money comes and it just goes. And he said, well, he said, you have what you say. He said, finish it out. Money comes and money stays. And when he said that, I felt it on the inside. Glory to God. I jumped up in my boxers, man. And I went in there and dug my wallet out of my pants. And I run around that house and my wallet was empty. Black God, hallelujah, this has been 28 years ago. I run around that house because he preached that you'll have what you say. Proverbs 18:19-21 over there. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. He said, if you've been confessing how broke you are and how broke your family is and you can't afford, he said, and all that, he said, think about it. He said, what if you're cashing in on what you're planting? He said, you're just cashing in, like going to cash your check. You worked all week. He said, you get it, you go cash it in. He said, what if what you're saying, you're cashing it in with your saying? So I jumped up, run around. It was dark out there, man. I mean, about probably 8:30 at night. And I run around my wallet up in there, buddy. I had enough gas to get to work back that week. Now I run around there and I said, money cometh, hallelujah to Scotty. And it's going to stay right here in this wallet. And I'm going to have more than enough that it can stay in that wallet. And you know what, praise God? It wasn't just a couple of years I was doing that. Might not have been that long, praise God. We'd get paid, and I got a raise on my allowance. I was getting $10 a week. You know, Teresa taking our bills, and they're this much a month, you know, and taking it out. And we'd have $10 or $15 left, and I'd get the $10 to eat that week. And I told the Lord one day, I'm going to work, I said, it won't be long, Lord, I'll eat what I want when I want, cause money cometh to me. I wasn't going around at work, it's all I got. I can't afford nothing because $10 is all I got left. I learned to stop thinking like that and believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. It pleases him to prosper you spiritually, physically. Teresa looked at me. She'd been under attack with this thing. She looked at me. She covered up, you know. She reminds me of Balboa when he's running, you know, he got that hoodie on. That's the way she is when she's attacked most times. You know. She pulled that thing up. She said, I'm winning. I said, you sure are. I said, you're coming out anytime. I said, you done won. Praise God, come in the next day. I'm winning. Love you too, baby. Yes, you are. That's what we'll do it from the couch. We'll just be watching a movie and I'll go, she'll go, hallelujah. Especially if she's upset, I'll go, hey, can you sit? Let me give you another one. Come on, raise it up. I know it's hard. Kill that flesh over there. You got to do that by faith, too. Baby. But fasting will help you. So I want to encourage you tonight. I didn't have a sermon. I've had about four notebooks, and I'm flipping through them. She said, what are you doing? I'm the same thing you do. I'm looking until I connect with something. I got notebooks full of sermons. I'm talking about that deep, man. I've had them for 30 years. And every now and then the Lord will say, go get that blue one out and turn back to 2004 and preach that one. And I'll get in there and you can't preach it because you got to add to it because you're coming on up, see. You see more deeper stuff into it. So then you have to write out a whole new sermon and title it 2023. Praise God. So I looked through there and I shut it and I said, well, I'm going to fix me something to eat. Like God, hallelujah. I said, I got to do it like all the rest of us. Just get up, pray God, and depend on the Lord and be led, whatever He said. Look at there. I'm done over time. Ain't He good? He's good. So I'm looking for breakthroughs for you. You need to believe to see God's goodness. I don't care what it looks like. It looked like they couldn't go into Canaan land, but there was some of them said, we're going. And you know what? They all had what they say. Some of them said, we can't do it. There's giants. We can't do it. We can't do it. And the other one says, we're more than able. And I heard a preacher, he's preaching that, and he asked them, he said, which one's got what they wanted? Which one's got it? And I answered Caleb and Joshua and myself. But he said, nope. He said, they all got what they said. He said, two entered in, the rest of them didn't. He said, they all got what they said. And I thought, glory to God, I've never seen that. So don't be saying the wrong stuff. Say what the Bible says. Hallelujah. He goes before you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.